You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Google teacher resignation letters. And what do you get? Over 2.1 million results. More and more teachers are posting their resignation letters online, which in turn gets shared around social media. Alyssa Hadley-Dunn realized these teacher resignation letters needed to be studied. She's an assistant professor of teacher education at Michigan State University. She assembled a team of colleagues and grad students to examine resignation letters and talk to some of these former teachers. The result? Three separate studies that find these letters offer a worrisome look at the state of public education in this country. Alyssa Hadley-Dunn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
How did you hit on the idea of studying these letters?
Actually, I learned about it from my former students who were practicing teachers, and they started sharing these letters on Facebook or sending me emails saying that they had read the letters online and that that was how they were feeling. And what did I think about that as a teacher educator? So it was actually thanks to my own students saying that they felt like the profession was demoralizing them and burning them out that I even knew that these letters existed in the first place.
So what's in most of these letters? Are there common themes?
There are, yes. So even though the teachers did not look at each other's letters as models before they wrote their own, you know, they're written over a time span of 4 to 5 years, we found lots of common themes across the letters. So, for example, there were teachers saying that they were demoralized by neoliberal practices that made them feel like they had no voice in policy creation or policy implementation. So things like standardized testing and teacher evaluation, these are things that affect teachers' working conditions and students' learning conditions every day. But teachers really had no voice in saying whether or not these policies would be useful or harmful in their classrooms.
Now, you say neoliberal policies, and that just confused me a bit because so much of the kind of push we're seeing for testing and holding teachers accountable seem to come from the conservative side of the legislature and conservative education people.
Right. So neoliberal ideology is not confined to Democrats or Republicans. It's like an overarching political philosophy that values capitalism and competition, or that values, as a scholar named Noam Chomsky says, values profit over people. Neoliberalism actually creates these strange bedfellows of liberals and conservatives around issues of competition in education. Competition is linked to things like charter schools, voucher programs, and standardized testing. So that's why we see that some of the same policies that are advocated for, or that were advocated for in Obama's administration, were actually just extensions of what Bush had created under No Child Left Behind.
As you examined letters and talked to teachers, are we talking about public school teachers, not private or not charter?
We are talking about predominantly public school teachers and charter schools. Many of them are public, so those teachers would be included as well.
All right. So when you talked to teachers who had posted their letters, what did you learn in your discussions with them?
Well, first we learned that they didn't expect them to go viral.
So, why is that?
They really just posted them for personal reasons. Like, they wanted their colleagues and their families to know what it was like to be a teacher in today's world and what was pushing them out. So they thought, well, maybe, you know, I'll share this open letter that I've written to my principal about why I'm leaving. And maybe people in my small sphere of influence or my small inner circle will hear about it, we'll do something about it, we'll think differently about what's happening in education today. But they never expected that it would become such a phenomenon, that it would go viral, that it would be picked up by Diane Ravitch or the Washington Post, or that they'd be asked to come on the Today Show. So really, they were so used to their voices not being heard that they were shocked when they actually were heard.
Do the former teachers feel the biggest problems are at the federal level or the state levels?
I think it depends on which teacher was writing the letter, whether it was federal, state, district, or local contexts that were particularly challenging for them. So depending on which state they were in, they may have had particular challenging feelings or conditions related to a policy like Race to the Top, for example. So Race to the Top tied teacher evaluations to students' test scores on high-stakes tests. So we see teachers in states that got Race to the Top funding, like Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina. We see those teachers really pushing back against how the state is choosing to use federal monies to supposedly improve education.
How are these letters affecting your students? Here you've got these young people in front of you hoping to be teachers. I've got to wonder what they're thinking as they read these letters.
Yeah, that's something that my colleagues and I are very concerned about. I think a lot about what does it mean for me, even as a teacher leaver, to prepare the next generation of teachers for a profession that I have left and that I know potentially might burn them out. So what I really emphasize when I'm talking to them about this is how to use the letters to see what they need going into the profession. So how can they collaborate with each other? How can they collectively organize and find groups of other teachers and community activists who will support them in the profession? So they see these letters not as something that should necessarily make them fearful, but as something that will give them as much information as possible about the context that they're entering so that they're not surprised when they get there. They know what they're up against, and then we give them strategies for how to fight back.
Now I'm going to back up the truck.
Okay.
You just dropped a phrase there. You have left the profession.
Yes.
Tell me
right.
a little about that. So you're not speaking just from academia. You've been through this.
I was a high school English teacher in an urban school, and I experienced many of the same challenges that the teachers are writing about in their letters. My co-authors, doctoral students, and another assistant professor here at MSU also were teachers who have left.
So what are the lessons that these resignation letters from teachers hold for policymakers and for school administrators?
I think that the letters make it very clear that teachers want to be heard and that they have opinions that are of value. So teachers are on the ground working with students and learning about the best ways to teach them and to support them in their academic and their social emotional development every day. But they're not often asked about their opinions when it comes to creating or implementing policies at whatever level. So if policymakers or administrators were reading this, they could see this as a call for including teachers in the policymaking process.
How likely do you think that is to happen?
I hope that it's likely. I have to hope, or else, you know, what are we doing every day?
Alyssa Hadley Dunn, Michigan State University Assistant Professor of Teacher Education. Her trio of studies explores just what teachers' viral resignation letters can tell us all about the state of public teaching. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us, Alyssa.
Thank you for having me.